Good morning, everybody. It's really lovely to be here. Again, we had a wonderful weekend with Jeff and Christine. They were taking us a bit to places. We went to St. Fagans, and it was so enjoyable. Really enjoyed, you know, seeing that. We have something similar in Switzerland, so it's really interesting. And we also spent some time in Cardiff shopping. That was the children's desire, and it was great.
Not me.
No. It was particularly lovely to see the children, you know, this morning, and just hearing, you know, some of the testimonies. And it just reminds me, I was brought up within a Christian family. My uncle was a pastor, and it was just automatically we were going to church. And, you know, God speaks to children. And when I was six, I had an experience that I never forgot. And it was, I don't know how long it was after my dad died. He died of cancer, and I was about 6 years old. And I had this dream. I was walking up this mountain, and at the top of the mountain, I was looking down, and I could see a tunnel that was leading to hell. But I also could see a path leading to heaven. And that was when I was six. And I remember I just knew, you know, I have to make a choice. I knew that I have to make a decision in life. And that was at a very young age. Around when I was 13, I was attending a Christian camp. So thank God for all these amazing Christian camps. And God really challenged me, because I had some really major issues and had a real trouble with anger and really bad temper, and especially aimed at my younger sister. And I got just so frustrated with it, and I felt so guilty. So I asked God, you know, to take it away and help me. And from that day on, I know that was not an issue anymore. So I knew God's power in, you know, how he changed me from that, you know, quite early age. Anyway, so I had a really quite happy childhood, and sort of life went on, and I just finished my sort of studies and qualified in my profession. And my sister and I, we decided that we would have a break and we would go to England. And it was just 3 months, and never realized that it would change my life, total direction of my life. Because as soon as I arrived, I heard some of the girls, there were some other, I mean, there were people from all over the, you know, all over the world, but there were some other Swiss people, and we just sort of got together and we was like chatting. And some of the girls, they were laughing, and they were talking about this Peter. And obviously he must have made some impression, because they were talking about him. And it wasn't long after I got introduced to him. And I mean, very soon he was just telling me his life story, and you know, got talking to him. And it was very, wow, never heard anything like it. And he was so passionate for God. He was just, it was so contagious. And it wasn't long before he was asking me out. And I was thinking, well, hang on a minute. I mean, that's not like Swiss-like. We at least, you know the person for about a year or so before you think about going out with it. So I said no. I thought, you know, that's quite logic, you know, I'm just not rushing into things like this. But I just felt like this kind of, almost this, you know, what if it's God's will? You know, why am I just kind of blocking it out? And, you know, if this is really God's will, I have to pray about it. So I did tell him in order to that we should pray together. And it was quite amazing how God kind of confronted in independently, you know, of each other. And I knew without a shadow of a doubt, you know, that this is God's plan for my life. And however, I had to go, after the 3 months, I had to go back to Switzerland. Switzerland wasn't in the EU, so you needed visas, you know, to come over, and it was a bit more complicated. So we had like a kind of relationship for 2 years by phoning once a week, or, you know, writing letters and things like that. So much easier now, just email and text. And it was really difficult because my family, they didn't like him. They weren't keen on that. They knew about his past. They knew, you know, that's not what they wanted for their daughter. So it was very difficult. I didn't have anybody where I felt like comfortable to talk to about our relationship. And I think it really deepened my relationship with God because I knew he was the one who confirmed, you know, and that he had a plan for our life. So anyway, two years later, we got married, and, well, people talk about honeymoon periods. Boy, it didn't feel like that. It was hard work. It was hard work. It was very, very challenging. Obviously, Pete had a life of 30 years where it was so messy. There was so much, you know, God was still like restoring and transforming, you know, his character. And also, while he was at Bible college, everybody was talking, you know, about him being an evangelist and he's going to go around the world, and nothing happened. You know, he had to go and get jobs to support, you know, his new family. So there was a lot of frustration. There was a lot of kind of anger, for like rejection, and just loads of things. And, you know, God was more interested in the character, you know, like building a character in his life, in my life. And it was amazing. I mean, at the time, it was really stressy because it was like he was going from one job to another. You know, in Switzerland, that's not like the case. You learn your profession and you stay with it for the rest of your life. And that's it. But he was like, you know, 2 years here, 2 years there, and it's like, and it's just like stressful for me. But God had really to work in my heart as well, you know, to just trust him that he will make the right choices, you know, that God will really open the doors that he wanted him to, you know, go through. And I mean, now looking back, I can see that everything that God did, it was for the better. You know, it was always, he had a plan, but sometimes when you're there, you can't see the plan, and you get a bit stressy. But so I was quite, you know, amazed, you know, how God sort of led us on. And then one day, I had this, we already had our children, and they were still little. Our youngest one was like 2 years old. And we were a bit involved in the church in our village. And I just felt like, you know, I had a bit like a heart desire to sort of bake and do something for the community, you know, but not really having a clue. I was like making profiteroles, but with squirty cream, and then wondering why the cream disappeared. It was not like amazing knowledge of baking. But this was kind of a start. I just had like this sort of, I felt like a heart desire, you know, to maybe have a cafe or something like that. And then one day they were just making some new units in our village. And Pete, in his free time, he just went to have a look. And he came back and he said, "Sarah, I just seen this amazing place that would just be perfect for a cafe." And I said, "I want you to come and see." And I thought, oh, I was so reluctant. I just felt like, oh, it can't be the right timing. My children are really tiny. I've not got a clue how to do that and this. And And so I had like any excuse. And but when I saw the plagues, I just knew, wow, this could be like really, you know, amazing. That could be really wonderful. So anyway, we then from there we went to have a look at some cafes to just spy out and see how they do things, and you know. And then I had a taste of a cake, and it was so horrible. And I was thinking, surely I can make it better. Anyway, so I started this cafe, and initially I thought, I'm going to do that for 10 years. You know, 10 years, had my plans. And after 3 years, Peter decided to give his job up, you know, at the Crown Court, and he started like helping me a little bit in the cafe. And it was great. It was like a bit more of a shared load, and, you know, it was working all well. And so the 5 years was just sort of kind of coming to an end, and we had like a really successful year. We were doing some outside catering as well, and it sort of, we had plans to go to Switzerland, and it was very snowy, and we were very excited. Kids were really excited, and we had like a horrendous journey. We were through the snow, through Europe. Normally we drive like, you know, fast as we can. We had to sort of go like 50 miles an hour through the snow. So it was quite a difficult journey. But as soon as I arrived in Switzerland, I was sick. And I was having bellyache. And I was thinking, my goodness, what's going on? I thought probably picked up some food poisoning or something, you know, in France. So I just thought, no, I have to go and lay down. I feel so rotten. And I lay down and I started like probing a bit, thinking, where does that come from? And to my shock and horror, I noticed I had this lump sticking out of my belly, and it was total solid. And I was thinking, how did I never notice that? You know, it was so painful. So we decided to make an appointment at the GP. The following day, we went up and did take some blood, and he sort of had a bit of probe and stuff. And he said, it's a tumor. And I was like, I don't know what I was thinking. I knew I wasn't pregnant. I didn't feel like, you know, didn't quite feel the same. And so he sent me off for some scan. And so I did the ultra scan, I did the CT scan. And that was Switzerland. It was just in the same afternoon. You know, it was the same afternoon. And that was 2 days before Christmas. And so, obviously, this guy was a bit quiet. He just said, well, how did you not notice? Obviously, it didn't just appear. And I said, well, I was just so busy with life. I didn't notice. I'm never ill. I'm always really well. So it was a real shock. And anyway, at the end of this scanning, we made a phone call to the GP, and he already had the results and everything, the report back. And then he said, oh, Mrs. Gladwin, it's not good news. It's cancer. He said, we don't know where it comes from, and we can't say whether it's benign or malignant. But, you know, this is the situation. So it was like a massive shock. We cried. I probably never cried that much. I probably cried for 3 days. It was just like a big shock. And so it's a bit blur. But he then said, what do you want to do? Do you want to go back to England? I said, no. No. And he said, well, You have to inform the insurance to see whether they're going to be happy, you know, paying for more tests. So we did that, and they agreed, you know, to go on and do some more tests. So I went to the main hospital and had some more tests, just had a look at. It was like some specialist, and she said, "Well, never seen anything like it. I've never seen anything like in someone so young as you. It's probably, I might see something like that in someone who's in the 70s or over, but I can't tell you again. I don't know what it is." So I said, "Well, you better go home. It's just one day before Christmas. Enjoy your Christmas and have to, you know." And it sounded a bit like, "Might be your last Christmas." So it was like, I said, "Well, I want you to make another appointment, you know, after a festive period with a gynecologist." So again, Christmas went, and really, I started thinking, well, this might be it. You know, it's not quite what I expected my life to now turn out to be. You know, but I just realized that I was I started really struggling, you know, with eating. I couldn't keep food down. And, you know, that I really didn't have much longer, maybe, you know, a few months or something like that. And so I started, you know, concentrating on heaven and just concentrating to, you know, dreaming about what it'd be like and all the people that I'm going to meet again. So I was quite kind of happy, kind of shouting out, you know, the obviously having to leave Pete and the children and friends and family behind. So I ended up going for, you know, further tests, and again it was inconclusive. So they decided that the only way to find out is to have a biopsy. So I went in for that, and again, gynecologist on the phone, "We need an appointment, it has to be very soon." You know, can you imagine that in England? And it was like a week later, I had my appointment. If the insurance was fine with it, you know, and the insurance, they confirmed, they checked all the records in England. If I ever would have gone in with any problem, stomachache or like sickness or anything, they would have said, "No, you already had the problem, you know, while I was in the UK." So it was, you know, God's hand was upon it all. And so I went for my, I had the keyhole surgery, and I remember waking up after, you know, being out for 3 hours, and I had my mum and my sister there and my stepdad, and I remember sort of seeing the doctor walking towards me, and I could see her smiling, and I think, it's going to be good news. And she said, "Oh, they did a quick test to see whether it was cancerous or benign, or malignant or benign, and it came back as benign." So I was like, you know, thank God. I was just so happy. I was so over the moon. I mean, I said, you know, they've done some like other bits, you know, taking swabs and stuff like that, but that's going to take like a week, you know, till they get the results through. So I just knew, I was so happy. So everybody, you know, the emails went around, phone calls, and everybody knew, you know, my kind of half on my way home, and everything would be fine. And even the doctors, you know, said, "Well, I've never seen such a happy patient." So whoa. I was just so over the moon. And soon after, I think two days later, I was. They released me from hospital, and I had about a week, you know, to sort of get a bit my strength back. And then I had the insurance were quite pressuring me, you know, to make an appointment and to get. They wanted to organise the flight back and everything, and I think they were worried there'd be some more costs to them, so they wanted to sort of wrap things up. And so I went to the doctor to get my travel certificate. I was really happy. And actually, Pete already had to go home because he had to run the shop. So he wasn't there, you know, for my operation and so. And I went to the doctor and he sort of said, how are you? I said, brilliant, you know, I feel really great. And he said, I'm so sorry, Mrs. Claflin, but it's not what I thought it was. It's highly malignant. It's a highly aggressive cancer. And I was like, what do you mean? And he said, well, it's non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. I was like, never heard of it. What is it? And so it couldn't really say much because they didn't know whether it's any secondary or primary cancer. So I kind of went tears, you know, full of tears, walked back home, had to inform my, you know, my mum and dad with my children. I was just like bursting into tears, and it was like devastating. I was like, I was so up there and then sort of back down. And anyway, Peter flew over, you know, to get us back. And within 2 weeks, I started my chemo. And when I had my first initial appointment with the oncologist and the team of oncologists, they said to me, and that was the first time like I heard it, said, we're going to cure you. You know, this is one of the cancers that we're really good at curing. And I was like, oh, it was just so wonderful to hear that. And so I went through my chemos. They did some more scans, and it turned out that because they disturbed the cancer when they took everything out, it just grew everywhere. So it just, within a couple of weeks, it just spread more than, you know, before. And so I went for my chemos, and they had to even give me an injection into my spinal fluid. And the first, I didn't know what to expect, but it leaked. I didn't know that this was the cause of it, but it caused me a lot of, you know, headache and migraine. And it ended up, I was just like so poorly. But when I heard that this was not normal, you know, that they just need to use a thinner needle, I just knew I'm going to be, you know what I mean, I'm going to sail through this. So I was going like halfway through, and I was coping quite well. I mean, it's tough, it's not easy, and your body gets a battering. But I had this amazing peace, and, you know, really just knew when people were praying for me. You know, there were times when I was so low, my immune system was really attacked and vulnerable. But, you know, I just knew when people were praying for me, and I just kind of lifted, you know, and I still had this joy. And so, like halfway through, and I just remember thinking, why I'm so joyful, you know, and I remember sort of reading the Bible, and I came across this scripture, you know, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And that was so true, you know, this was so true. And anyway, so halfway through, I got quite poorly. I just felt like my body was not recovering. And I mean, I was thinking, well, it's not that bad. I always think it's not that bad. And then my friend, one of my best friends, she dragged me to hospital. And the doctor said, well, I've seen worse. And I'm thinking, yeah, good. So they have to do tests anyway when you're in hospital. They have to follow the procedures. And anyway, he came back and I said, no, you're not going home. You have to go in isolation. You're really not well. I was thinking, okay. So I had like, I entered this single room. And just when I entered, I just could see like a rainbow, you know. And I just think, God is faithful. You know, God is always there. We don't know, you know, why we have to face things, why we have to go through hard time, but God is always faithful. And it was like I was staying in hospital, I just probably slept all the way through. And then on that Monday, they decided that they would have to give me some iron because my blood count was so, or my immune system was really low and the blood count was low. And so they gave me this iron, but they said, well, you're most likely not going to have your chemo. It will be delayed because of, you know, you're so weak. As soon as they gave me that iron, I just knew something happened. And I was just amazed. I felt like this warmth. And they said, well, it takes about two, three weeks for, you know, you to see a difference. So I went in for my chemo expecting to be turned away. And anyway, she called me and said, no, your bloodcount is absolutely fine. We can continue with chemo. And it was just like, praise God. It was a miracle. It was a true miracle. And throughout my time, it was just really, I could see so many times that God was just coming through. You know, when things looked bleak, when things looked down, in a natural, but God came and answered my prayer and our prayer. And yes, I think
that's it.
Am I nearly done, or have I got some more time?
Tell us a bit about what's happened since you come back.
Yeah.
How long ago?
That was 4 years ago. And I think all through that time as well, Pete said, "Oh, we've got to sell, we've got to sell a shop. You know, it's too much." And I said, no, because it's not good to make a decision when you're feeling down. You know, you might regret it. You have to sort of make it when you feel, well enough. So we continued, and then there was just things that were happening, and I trapped my nerve, because when I had my chemo, it just injured this sort of spot in my back, and it was really tense. Anyway, I just was out, and it's taken me so much time to get back and get my health and my strength back. And as soon as I got it back, something else happened. And it was like, maybe God needs to speak to me like this, you know, gives me a bit of whack. And then I start questioning things. I'm thinking, what is it? Is it maybe time to let go of the cafe? You know, has he got a different plan? I know Peter's book, he was working on his book. And it was going to come out that year, later on that year. And God, and for the first time, I really considered. And I just said, okay, I think this is what God wants to do. And we prayed and asked God that he would send us someone who would take on the business. Because it's not easy just to sell. You know, we're just coming out of a recession, and things were difficult. I'm not kidding you. The next day, after we've given it to the Lord and said, okay, I surrender it. If that's your will, you will bring the circumstances around that it will happen. The next day, someone came into the cafe and asked where we would sell it, because he was coming into some money. And I just knew, wow, it's amazing. You know, amazing. God can use even difficult, do you know what I mean, situation sometimes, to get his way. And, you know, I just want to thank God for his faithfulness and for his grace. And
amen.
Amen.
You should read that next to me.